Have you ever looked into the night sky and wondered, are we alone? We've learned so much about the world and our universe, and yet we realize there are so many mysteries yet unsolved. If you are interested in the unexplained and mysterious in our world, then join us in The Night Search, a forum for discussion and exploration of the world just beyond our reach. And now, your host for Night Search, Eddie Middleton.
And we're going to hear about a profound mystery tonight, folks, on June the 2nd, 2015. And I'm going to let Augie introduce our guests.
Hello, hello there. Tonight,
well, hello.
We're going to have a discussion with two lovely ladies that will be speaking about the crystalline stellar skulls, sometimes called the crystal skulls, but there is a difference. Some are just crystal skulls, and some are... can you hear me?
Yes.
Like the phone went, okay.
Yes.
I had a problem with the phone. Anyway, there is a difference between crystal skulls, and there's a reason why these are called stellar crystal skulls, and you will find that out. Tara Ray and Krista will introduce the skulls to you tonight. And yes, I did not misspeak. I meant introduce to you. These crystalline skulls have an intelligence coming through them. They can speak by placing thoughts in your mind when you are in their presence. Tara Ray has been in the esoteric field for decades. She's a healer, writer, teacher. She does past life regression. She teaches five-dimensional body scanning and extractions of negative energies and thought forms. She has been working with the skulls to create a galactic contact, not only in the physical level, for a purpose of first contact and a higher vibration of spiritual living for us. There's a group of entities, she called them the Galactic Team. Krista may elaborate more on the Galactic Team. These are ascended masters, and by the end of the show, we will know who and much more about the commander, the sub-commander of the Galactic Federation of Light. When Tara Ray and Krista started to work with these skulls, it opened up some incredible new realities, skills, and possibilities for them. And tonight, we will learn more about our hidden past, our present, and our future. So with no more ado, I will introduce to you Tara Ray and Krista. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much for having us. This is a delight and an honor to be on your show. And I know the Crystalline Skulls are excited to be here and surrounding all of you. And...
Are they there with you right now?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Oh. Okay.
They're right here, all right. We have quite a few of them. We have a whole tribe.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, it's really exciting. And been working with them now for many years. I've been working with them for 8 or 9 years. And Krista came on board, it seems like forever ago, but a few years ago. And we haven't stopped. And... We've been working on a galactic way, and the difference between a crystal skull and a crystalline skull is, because this was right from the beginning, we had guides that showed up that started working with us on who these are, where they came from, what their names are. When Krista came in, we started introducing ourselves to each one of them. And each skull has a different function, although they work as a tribe. They have their specialties, and they all have a name. And they have, for the first time ever, have revealed where they are from. And the reason they're finally revealing that is because they're from different universes. And we have just opened up a portal, which I am going to tell you about because this is very exciting news, from these other universes for the first time ever. And so what the difference is from a crystal skull and a crystalline skull is, right in the beginning I had asked one of the guides this exact question, and what he said right then at the time was that Well, let's see. The crystal skulls have come for, and when I think of the crystal skulls, I think of the Yucatan skulls.
Yes.
And that they had come as springboards, rather as for people to awaken to their fifth dimensional self and even the idea of what the fifth dimension is and that there are these other dimensions that we're moving into. They're highly programmed, but they rarely talk. And I have even asked the stellar skulls if the crystalline stellar skulls, if they have met those skulls. Most of them have not. A few of them have. And they, too, said, well, they don't talk very much. They do have a sentient being that works with them, and mostly they have programming that they are emanating. So the difference is that the crystalline skulls, the tribes that we are working and playing with, they're springboards from fifth dimension into, or you could even say three dimension for most people, into 5, 7, 9, 11 and beyond. And that's what they've come for, is to assist us to moving into that space. And just so you know right up front, they're all heart-based. They're angelic beings of light. The archangels call them angels on earth. And they only work from the heart, and they will only work with the light. If somebody of the dark, let's say, we cut right to the chase on this stuff because we work with it so much. But if someone from the dark tries to work with them, they completely shut down. So that gives you a little bit of an idea. Because yep. like you said, Augie, they are here for the ascension, and they're here to prepare us for first contact, what we call the welcoming. And because we have worked with the Federation now for so many years directly, for us it is the welcoming, because this is our family of light. And
Then my question would be, you talked that they have individual personalities or individual entities. Who are they? No, it's not what anymore now. It is who are they, these individuals?
Aren't they? Exactly. Well, as we started to explore them deeper and further, and they are beings that have come from the original universes of light before this universe was created. And this is why they kept that a secret. But now part of our job has been to bring this forth to people about these universes. And that's because there's a group of beings on the planet, and we call them the Magdalens. And this isn't just Yeshua and the Marys. It's a whole tribe of beings that were created in these other universes. And I'll give you some of the names. The very first universe was the clear. Then we had the crystalline, the golden, the red, the blue, the green, the rainbow. Let's see, there's the pink, and there's a few others. Those are the origin universes. Now we have a jillion universes. But those were the origin universes that many of us came from. Krista and myself did, because we're Magdalens, and so did the skulls. And once we started working and playing with the skulls, we realized, Krista and I did, that we have been together working with these skulls, shall we say, just about forever. And actually, a lot of people have. They just don't know it yet. And just like they said when I first met them, they said to me, you know all of us. You've just forgotten it's been a long time. And I'd go, are you sure it's me? What? And they go, absolutely. You know us well, and we're coming. That's how I was introduced to them. The first
how
thing
did you
they,
find them?
Well, they found me. My whole life, I realized, was being set up for this, and right from the beginning. And I didn't know that until a few years ago. And a friend of mine who I'd been working closely with, doing a lot of galactic work, called me over to her house, said, so-and-so is here, you've got to meet this guy. I call him Shaman Guy. And he had several skulls on the table. And I brought a friend with me, and those two women could channel. And when I came into the room and sat down, these skulls started talking to me, and I could hear them immediately. And I thought, oh, you got to be kidding me. And I thought, you're saying some interesting things. Should I tell them this? And they said, absolutely, tell them right now. So I did, and I told them that Shaman Guy, the idea of where you think these are from and how old you think these are, you need to know they are so much older than that, basically. And he was saying they were Neolithic. That would be 5,000 years. And they said they're saying they're very much older than that. And they're not from where you think they are. And the reason some of us are looking at the skulls and can't figure out what they're made of is because they just told me they're composites from different stones, from different planets and galaxies. And that they chose the stones they wanted to be carved in. That was the very beginning. I'll tell you the next part.
Let me interject. I've got to interject this question since you had asked how you found them. Were they just deposited at some location on the planet, like at a sacred site or in a cave?
Yes. Yes. And they've been there for a long time waiting to show up, actually. And what happened was 2 days after I went to that gathering, and I didn't leave there because when I first, he said, well, these are for sale. And then when I told him what they really were, he said, well, I better rethink this. And I said, well, I don't feel like I need to leave with anything, but I will say this one skull over here belongs to this woman that I came with, and she needs to leave with that skull. And she did. And then 2 days later, you'll love this, guys. Okay, 2 days later, I'm in the shower washing my hair, and I hear a voice. I thought there was someone in the bathroom with me, and I spun around, and there were four skulls bouncing around in the shower with me. And they were etheric. I could see through them, but I could see them. Two were like frosty white, and two were blue. And they had called out my name. And I'm washing my hair, and I go, you have got to be kidding. What the heck are you doing in my shower? And they said, we've come because we're coming. We're on our way. And then we must come here. And I go, what do you mean? And they go, no, we're coming here. We have to come to you. And you know us. You've worked with all of us. And you need to call the shaman guy. And we will come through his contacts because we're on our way. And but you must tell him that we are coming to you. And then I said, are you sure you have the right person?
Yeah.
And they said, absolutely, positive. You just forgot. You've worked with all of us. It's just been a long time. So get in touch with him. We'll be here soon. And they were like, you know how like you blow bubbles out of a bottle and you know how they just kind of like fade away and disappear? That's exactly what happens in the shower. And they just faded away and disappeared. And I knew I was going to step into something that could possibly change my life forever. I didn't know any idea of what this was going to look like, and I decided to go for it. And I haven't stopped since. I had no idea, because within less than 2 weeks, I drove to another state to this guy's house. We set it up. I send them a lot of money. Make sure they come. You let me know when they're on their way. You let me know when they're there. I will jump in my van and I'll be there. And that did it. And when he had them set up, and he had one set up on a light box when I got there, and this one again started talking to me, and I looked over at him and I said, do you hear what this skull is saying? And he, and I knew he didn't. And I said, oh, good. I could tell just by the way he answered. So I said, wow, this is amazing. And the skull started telling me who this was, what she does. And the first skull there told me that, I'm a fragment collector. And I go, and that did it. And I go, you got to be kidding. I collect fragments of people. And they said, well, we don't just collect them from here on Earth. We collect them all over the galaxy and the universe and beyond. And that did it. It just cracked me right open. And I started just sobbing. And I said, oh, my God, people need you. And they said, yes, they do, and it's why we're here. That was the beginning. And
well, that's quite an experience.
Yeah. And it's been like that ever since, but even wilder. Because we've advanced the work we do, and we're able to do incredible things, and we work fast. And this is how we managed to bring in the team, the whole team, because we work directly with Archangel Metatron, and Michael comes in a lot. We work with Merlin because he reverses the wizardry, the dark wizardry in everybody, everything on the planet when we find it. And we need the team because a lot of times we take things off the planet altogether, and they're able to do that. And we have an Inner Earth team also, and we work with them who oversees the Inner Earth communities. And because everything, what people don't understand is whatever is happening here, from the Earth changes to the war to the fracking, all of that is affecting them in the Inner Earth in a very big way. So we have become a very close, tight-knit team of all the big players. And they have dedicated themselves to us because of the level we're all working on. And when we look at things, we're at the place now where how it worked was I was really asking for somebody to be the voice of the skulls, because some of the skulls have totems on their head. They have birds and dragons and serpents of light and big cats. And I knew this was from ancient history, from the origin teachings way back. And some of them have these ancient glyphs on their head. And the glyphs are a seventh dimensional angelic language of light. And so if it's a seventh dimensional language, that means they can move. They move right off of the skull. They move right into you. They can move in front of you and just do their work, spin things out, clean things up. And so it's quite amazing. And I wanted someone who could read this and in detail. And so after a huge piece of work this other gal and I were doing, Krista called. And she and I have known each other now. Oh, we were trying to figure it out. 30, 35 years. It's been a long time. And let's tell them the story, Krista, on how we met and when after we first met. Because it was a galactic event. It was, and to us, we were just totally excited. And because I had met her in California, and this was a long time ago, and I was sleeping on I had come to visit. I was sleeping on the floor of her apartment. I knew the gal that was next door. And while I'm sleeping on the floor, I get this dream, as loud as could be, that said, come up north to one of the remote beaches. They said exactly which one. At that time, it was in California, in Point Reyes. And they said, and we will show up to you. And I woke her up immediately, and I said, here's what I'm getting. Here's what I just heard. So wow. I think the next night we went, and they showed up and did a whole light show on the water for us. It was fabulous, just fabulous, until the first ray of light came at dawn, and poof, they all left. And we went back several other times, and then she went many times. We brought some friends with us, and that's how we met. And then she started channeling, and which was to my delight. And and then we kind of lost touch for a while and kept touch here and there. And while I was doing, just the day I was starting this giant piece of work, she called. I thought, oh, there's no accident. And I'm thinking, gee, I bet she's channeling Metatron, because we were working with Metatron. And so when we were done with the piece of work, because it was so big, I called her, and she said, well, what are you doing? And I said, I can't explain it, but I can send you some pictures right away. I've got these skulls, and I need help. And she goes, yeah, this, I said, can you, do you think you could read the glyph and tell me what this is? She goes, oh, yeah, that's right up my alley. And I go, far out. So I sent this to her, and she calls me up immediately. Oh, my God, what have you got there? And I said, why? What did they say? She says, well, it was Yeshua that came in on this one. And he said, all right, this is a skull that's from a planet like Venus, but it's in a parallel universe. You haven't discovered it yet, but you will. And this glyph does a certain type of healing, and we'll explain it to you, and you're probably going to use it soon in your work. And that did it. It got her. And I said, oh, my God, can you come out here? Metatron really wants you to come out. Just come out and see what's going on with me and what we have. And she says, you got it. I'm coming. And that's how it really started in a big way with the skulls, in a real big way.
That's
and
how you became a team.
Yeah, that's how we really became a team.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And that must have been about 4 or 5 years ago then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And
we already knew each other from way back, so
yeah.
It was pretty easy. I mean, it was great because when she came, we went and bought groceries. We settled in, and we worked day and night in the house talking to skulls, day and night. And what would happen was when I realized that they were able to do different things, and I go, you can? And right there, it was like, you can do that? Can we do it right now? Can we go look at this right now? And we started to discover a lot of things, and we needed the commander immediately, which I'd already been introduced to and been working with. And and that
now,
was it.
These are different skulls. Do they have different personalities? And is it one, let's say, one commander that comes through one skull at a time, or do they have a common consciousness?
It's actually both. They each have a name, and that's their name that they've chosen. And they knew what they wanted to look like when they were carved. And they, way back when they were just a consciousness, they had decided they wanted to take a form. And so they had a council on, well, what should we do? And because we want to be able to move through the dimensions and eventually come into 3D, and because they knew they could see what was coming, because and come into 5D, so in the physical. And they chose a skull for many reasons. Many, many reasons. Mm. And that's why they chose skull.
Who carved them? They're physical now, so something has to be made in order to be physical. So who carved them, or how were they made?
Well, they chose specific stones. They came into different areas and different regions, and usually before there were even civilizations there or very small communities there. And some of this was in the area, it was in the area of where Uruger, and I don't even know if you know of the civilization of Uruger. It actually, from what we've been told, is it was the first civilization on the planet. And it was able to keep itself secret and shielded from the Anunnaki when they came in. And then started working back and forth with Atlantis. And whereas Uruger was very left brain or very right brain and creative, and Atlantis was the left brain and scientific, and was both, but moved more into the scientific. And so they would come in, and they would pick an area, usually a small village kind of an area. They would pick the stone they wanted, and they would pick the carver. And they've told us over and over, many of them have told us that many times they would pick a carver that had never carved ever, or a lot of times at the time they would purposely pick a woman because it's in certain areas and certain times it was forbidden for the women to be with ceremonial pieces and the sacred objects. So they would pick the women, and they would start to work with them and show them exactly how to do this. They showed them what they wanted to look like, if they wanted a totem on their head or whatever it was. Because we've asked this to so many skulls now, and this is what they've said. And sometimes that carver would keep it in the family and teach a family member And they were, if that was the case, we were told that they were very revered then in their community, and that was a very sacred thing to do. And that is some of how they got carved.
Mm. Let me ask you this also. I know you have a book coming out shortly, and I want you to mention something about that, but also mention your website, because I've been on your website, and there's some extremely interesting pictures and things you have written about it on the website, and people could really have fun going there. So mention your website and also the book that is coming out.
Thank you, Augie, because we redid the website, and the whole idea was to make it as fun and lighthearted as possible and colorful, because that is who the skulls are. And the website is stellarskulls.com, and it's spelled stellarskulls.com. And the name of the book that I'm writing is Who Are the Crystalline Stellar Skulls? And then I'm considering the subtitle of Could These Be Sentient Beings of Light?
Yeah, I caught that. You said who and not what.
Yeah, they are a who.
Yes, they are.
Most definitely. And they have a great sense of humor. And once you see them, like when we tell people who've been on the site, I go, print out a picture, you know, because we don't hold everything for us and, oh, you have to pay us for everything, and that's not how we operate at all. Our mission is to get this out as much as we can, because if you have a picture of one of the stellar skulls, like let's say on your desk or in your bedroom, you start talking to them, they're there, and you may see lights at night in your room, that's them. Some people will see them full on as their seeing abilities open, and you start asking them for what you need, what you want, and we always tell people, go into your heart, put your hand on your heart and say, yes, divine being of light, I'd really like you to come in and work with me. And they're there. They're before you blink an eye.
Let me ask you this. I'm Eddie, you know, can just a person of ordinary psychic ability interact with them and receive communication from them?
You know, we think everybody can. They just don't. Here's an example. There's a gal that we do this incredible clearing work. We call it clearing to the core, and it's moving all of the devices, implants, entities, creatures, everything, and contraptions off. And once that is done, I make the skulls available if they would like to have one and purchase one. So, for example, everybody's different. Some people are seers. Some people can hear. Some people intuit. Everybody's psychic abilities are different. So this gal is just developing hers because she was so blocked, as was I. And so she just got a skull recently, and I was talking to her, and she goes, oh, and I'm bringing the skull into every room with me, and I'm talking, and sometimes I just really need to hear from this skull, and I just don't hear, and I got really pissed, and I started yelling at her, and I just burst out laughing. I thought, that skull's got to be laughing her little noggin off at you. And then the skull jumped in and said, oh, she doesn't realize it, but I'm talking to her all the time. And a lot of her ideas right now, I hear her repeat to other people that I've given her. And yet she doesn't realize that that's it, that that's where it how it's coming in. And, you know, so we'll tell people, work with a pendulum. Sit down with your pendulum so that stream of energy can come through. Another gal recently that we worked with, she just kept saying, and she's an older gal, and she says, oh, I really want to hear from the skulls. I really want to hear them. And I go, well, just keep talking to them. And one morning, she wakes up, and she's looking up, and she, too, had just been cleared. And, man, she had stuff around her. And she's laying in bed looking around, and she sees, like, the blobs of energy up on the ceiling. And she hadn't been a seer before either. And now she's seeing this. She goes, what the heck is this? And all of a sudden, she hears, okay, those are some negative energy blobs. And so she said, well, how do I get them out of here? And they said, and this was the skulls, okay? And the skulls said to her, Okay, just create these little, just visualize these little purple mini Merkabas, because we work with Merkabas all the time. And just send them around the room and just go jut, 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 and let them blast through all the little energy blobs. And she did exactly what they said, and she did it, and she watched them all disappear and then sent them throughout the house. And she couldn't wait to call me just to tell me that she heard from the skull for the first time, where she could hear him so clearly. So, and I said, well, I'm rather delighted that you could see those blobs and that you got that new tool. I said, I'm going to use that tool. I love that. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of one of the, just giving you possibilities and ideas, because there's so many different things that happen. Because, for example, when we first met the skulls, I asked them, well, what dimensions do you like to work in? And they jumped in and go, are you kidding? We work in more dimensions than you could possibly fathom. And it's like, far out.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sounds good to me. And
I had another question about, you said something about the girl could purchase one of these skulls. How many of these skulls are there, and people can purchase them?
Only if they've been fully cleared. That's the agreement I made with the skulls. They asked me that so that they don't just sit on a shelf, and that people are actually working with them, because they have a lot to do. They came here to do a lot. And we do this clearing work. Krista, maybe you'd like to tell them about the clearing work that we do. And
go ahead, Krista.
And we'll let her give you some idea of some of the work we do.
Good.
Yeah. Well, what we notice is when you open yourself up to being with the skulls and receiving information, it's really basically going into your heart and receiving what you need. And they've allowed us to see into other dimensions, so that often there might be energies around people that even go into Gaia and into people around them that we can clear. And I believe some of the abilities of clearing you can train yourself to do, because here's, I'm just looking at a little message from Purity of Light is her name, and she said, my glorious purpose is to receive all that is not assisting growth and completely obliterate it, allowing for only growth of a divine nature. So there's so many possibilities of you working with their energies just right from where you are. So Eddie, when you asked us, you said, well, are they there with you? Actually, they're there right with you if you call them in.
So you guys mentioned that you sell these skulls and so forth, so everyone else can access them. Are they available on your website? If so, what was your website?
Well, everybody can't really access them. I need to explain this a little bit further. The work we do is we have to look into people. What I'm going to tell you is very different. And most people don't want to believe it, especially people, the light workers, think they're completely cleared. Unfortunately, it's not the case. And it's also why the commander has stepped forward, and he even said it on one of our own radio programs on our, we do stellar calls once a month, and he has started to come on some of the calls with us, because he said that, I'm here for Team Earth and for the Magdalens and those who really want to be cleared to the core, because, first of all, we need their help to do it. And what that means is we look in and we see devices, implants, plates, mesh, rods, helmets, everything imaginable, and in, on, and around people. And if it's a Magdalen, I'm going to just tell you straight out, they're covered head to toe, inside and out, as well as all your master glands are, which is what has kept us in this lower octave 3D for so long. And so there's also things behind them and around them. They're big, they're dark, and they're also using our energies to do the dark wizardry. And there is nothing they have not hit on this planet, and I mean nothing. And I've been saying that for years. And it was Yeshua and the Marys that came in and said, you know, Tara Ray, we used to laugh at you. You call us in all the time, and we hear you say that to people. And then we started seeing what you're doing and the things that you do. And then you've got you're training all the girls to do it, the rest of Team Earth and everybody. And it's phenomenal. And we had no idea of the magnitude of what has been going on. And I said, and at the time I said, you know, Yeshua, I read everybody's channeling, and I've been reading your channeling for years, and I hear you say all the time, only focus on the light, don't look at the dark. And I said, did you ever think that maybe that's your programming? And did you ever think that because of that, and because a lot of you have been thinking in this way, that the dark side has run rampant? And because we're on a polarity planet, in a polarity universe, and it was how it was set up in the beginning. And he said, you know, I never really thought of it like this. And then he asked us to work on him and work on the team, and we did, and it has changed everything. And we work directly with Prime Creator and who we call Galactic Goddess. You might know her as Divine Mother. And we work with everybody, and they said, you have humbled us more than anybody we know, because we thought we knew what we were all doing, which they do, but they didn't realize a lot of it was overshadowed by all the dark stuff. And that's because it was put in us a very long time ago. And I mean, like, not even on this planet. Most of it went, I could say, back to Avalon, the second form in density. And this is all in my book. And I do the whole breakdown in the book on where this stuff came from, how and why, and how they figured it out, because they put it in from a dark dimension. So we're able to scan that. The skulls help us. And then we figure out the progression of how we're going to remove it all. The skulls look at it. Sometimes they need to see past lives and where it came from, agreements, whatever it is. We don't care, because we don't care if how dark of a life you've been in. It doesn't matter. We're not here to judge. We're here to clear you and get you to the other side and all the way into the light. And that way, we are then able to reactivate your master skills and abilities that you were so brilliant with in the past. And because a lot of us, any of the big lights, were master creators. I mean, it wasn't just Prime Creator doing the creating. We'd create with, we'd have councils about, but we did the creating as well, because one of us might have been mastered the elements or a certain element. Others decided, I want to work with the grids and the mountains. And others were working with the animals. And this is what we did. And so because we were such master creators, the dark side didn't want us doing this. And they wanted to come in and destroy it all, and which they did, and most of it. So this is how it all really got going, and this has been one of the best kept secrets on the planet as far as we can tell. And it's everything of darkness on the planet, and I mean everything from the cabal to the pollution, all of it, the chemicals, everything, that's the wars, they're all coming from the same group.
From the same source, yeah.
Yes, and some of you are figuring that out. And fortunately, with the commander and sub-commander, they are able to look into the dark stuff, and that's been their job. And they put together, I wanted to say something, because what people like who have explored on the level that you guys have been exploring, what you need to know is most of the reptilians have been taken off the planet, the dark ones, with the grays that were their robotic little minions. And back in, it was in 93, and some of you may have heard this, in 1993, there was a continuum net that was put around the planet, the entire planet. This was a huge deal, and I knew of it back then. And I said, geez, this should be on the front page of every paper. And this was put around there purposely to try to hold the reptilians and the greys in so that the fleets could come in and get them and track them, which took quite some doing, I can tell you that much. And then in 2005, they put in another one. That contained them in, and they were able to look at the nets to see if there were any holes in them and repair them. And this is why you don't hear much these days about the reptilians and the greys, because most of them, we believe, have been completely taken off the planet.
Wow.
Thank goodness. That also, don't you think that should be on the front page of every paper?
Yeah. Is it also true that the number of their underground bases were completely obliterated?
You betcha, baby. Yes, it has been.
So, this whole scenario of alien abduction is probably almost disappeared now?
Yes, you got it. Now, people are still feeling the effects from some of it, and people with, and yet at night, for example, in our dream time, a lot of times we go onto the ships of light and the ships where our family are, because the Galactic Federation and the Ascended Masters are our family of light. And I noticed in some of the things, Augie, that you mentioned, that you use the word alien. And I will say that the reptilians and the greys, to me, those are alien. But the Federation, which has all different kind of characters on their ships, those are our families and our light families.
Yeah.
And they are working above and beyond amazing, the work they are doing. And I wanted to tell you, we called in the commander yesterday, and you happened to call right then. You must have picked up on it right then. We were just finishing talking to him to see if there was anything new going on that we would mention to you tonight. And he had already heard me, because he stays very in tune with Krista and I. And that's because he said on our program, he says, we don't open ourselves up to be channeled because we are so busy, you could only imagine, and we're not into frivolous conversations, and we have aligned ourselves with Team Earth because we're on the same mission, and that is to protect and bring back the all the great things here on Gaia and on Earth. And
Tell us a little more about that Federation and the commander. Are they in physical form most of the time, or are they in and out of the physical, or are they non-physical most of the time?
That's a great question, because that was one that I asked too when I first met them. And they're in 5D physical, most of them.
Okay.
And that way they can operate with each other. They've got their directives because there's so much going on. And because I asked the commander, I said, well, do you work out of seventh dimension? And he says, yes, a lot of times I do. But when we're doing our work, we usually are doing it in 5D. And that's because they're in a crystalline form, and their bodies are crystalline. So they can live as long as they want to be here and be wherever they are, and which is where we're moving to. When we talk about moving into the fifth dimension, we're moving into our crystalline bodies, and that's why the DNA has to unwind, the cells are awakening to the crystalline, and that's just the beginning. Remember, like the skulls say, they're springboards, and they want us to springboard this, like keep moving, right through it.
We got about 15 minutes left. I want to get a couple of questions more, and I'll shut up after that, really. I want to hit you with just a totally off-the-wall question here. I'm just real curious. Who are these so-called men in black, you know, who have the MIB phenomenon? Can you just enlighten us on who they are, what their mission is, and first off, are they for real?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of those kind of organizations and characters that are for real. And they're minions of the cabal and of what we call the dark wizards. And the reason we use that name is because they're the ones that created all the dark wizardry. So the minions put things into play and are working real hard to keep fear and terror on the planet. And I will tell you this, a lot of them have been removed, and a lot of the big dark players were tried for crimes against humanity in a fifth dimensional court. And of course they were guilty, but it was a formality to be able to call them out, because in 5D they had to come, and they were taken. And this is changing everything rapidly. And so there's a lot going on. And the commander mentioned he knew I had talked to you. You had asked me about the fleet behind the moon.
Yeah.
And he said, well, he said, right now, you know, because we've been talking for so many years, and originally they thought, well, when we first started talking, they thought a lot more, they were going to send in a lot more ships to show up as it was. And things just started, they too started to realize the magnitude of the situation and of what they could, what was being shown to them. So they really had to shift gears. And they are working with, and there is a fleet behind the moon, but he says, there's fleets everywhere. Tell him to keep his eye on the skies. And this is true. They tell everybody that right now. Keep your eye on the skies, because there are ships everywhere. And know that the ships you are seeing now are light ships. They are light ships, and some of them are your family. Some of them are you from the future. Don't you love that one? Some of them are direct family members from the Federation, or an Ascended Master, or it may be a crew that's working. If you see several, there's usually a crew, because they're checking on the chemicals, the radiation, the pollution, all of this, like the chemicals and the hormones that they put into the animals. They're checking on everything and how it's affecting the rest of the galaxy, and how it can be transmuted. And that's a lot of the work we do. We're constantly transmuting things. Augie, I don't know if you were able to listen to our stellar call the other night that we had. It was just phenomenal. And I'm going to tell you about this, because the commander mentioned it today. And we were with the group on the call. I was chomping at the bit again to get to work on the Middle East. And because things were escalating, and what we did was we got together and we strategized this all ahead of time with Metatron and Merlin and all the crew that I mentioned. There's a lot of us, and the commander and the Inner Earth group and us, and because then we presented it to the people on the call, because we need to anchor these things from 3D. They can do a lot. There's no doubt about that. But certain things they're not allowed to do, because it's a cosmic law. But when they're asked, or we come up with the idea, which we do all the time, and then we run it past the skulls, and the skulls, they'll expand on it even more, on how it would work. And here's another something else. Add this in. Let's do this. And here's the best progression. Then they rock. They're like, let's go. And so we created a net, and we put a net first over the Middle East, and we lit up from there all over the planet, all of the perpetrators, the ISIS groups, all of the perpetrators, and which the skulls can do. And we call it spotlighting, and they're really good at it. You can use spotlighting every day. It's like if you're in a group and it's like, oh, that person looks good, but I'm not feeling right about something. Just to go in there first and spotlight everybody, so I know who's who when I get there. And they will. And you'll feel it. You'll get it. You'll hear it whispered to you. And so we wanted the big players spotlight. We wanted the ones financing the war, the terror, the guns, the whole bit. And then we created a portal. We brought in a brand new portal and of light. We brought in this cylinder. We're moving this. It's a continuously moving cylinder. We send it down through the inner earth into the heart of Gaia, and then we shot the net out into the galaxy, around the planet, into the earth, and then started feeding the energy of everything positive that we could. And and I'm just giving you a little small synopsis on it. And it was so amazing. All of us were blown away. And then he said today that, by the way, that portal and net that we put in is helping us all a lot with what we're doing. It is amazing. So
let me ask you another thing. You were talking about earlier about first contact. Is there a plan for first contact coming that they put together?
Well, that's what they're all working on right now. That's why they're checking everything. They don't have a date. They used to try to give us a time frame, and then everybody would get disappointed, so they can't. But everything they're doing now is preparing for first contact, the welcoming, and because that is going to change everything. And it's going to be incredible because, remember, this is your family coming in and your family of light finally coming through the veil. Just their ships alone are of such a high frequency. Just by them coming in, it is going to change everything. And
to save us from the New World Order bunch, they're going to finally thwart them?
They are thwarting them already as we speak. It's like, it's why everything is up on the surface, because it's really their last stand right now. I mean, and that's why there's so much convoluted stuff going on. But they're working with everything, with the finances, and they have kept the finances from crashing because they don't want us to suffer any more than we already have. And all of that is going to change, and I mean everything. They've given me a lot of glimpses of what's coming. We've talked about it, and it's pretty incredible what's coming in, and you definitely want this. Not everybody's going to see it because their energy won't be there, and also because of they're indoctrinated into certain religious beliefs or fear-based beliefs, and but everybody will feel it in one way or another. So it's not like they're going to be left out, because they're going to get something. They're going to start to feel like, maybe I can look at things differently, you know? Maybe we can work together, because that is the whole idea, is to getting everybody to work together and rather than fighting and moving the ones who are the perverse destroyers. Because the opposite of creation is perversion and destruction, and so they're the ones that will be moved.
What are the chances of these destroyers actually winning, or are we going to win over the cabal?
Oh, we're winning, honey. We are so winning.
You just
don't get to hear all of that, you know, And because of the way the political scene is set up, you know, I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard Obama give his list of what he's really doing, but boy, it's the stuff you do not see in the papers, and it's mind-blowing because he's on it. His job was to prevent World War III, and he's done a darn good job of it, because we do not want that here on the planet. And everything that is destroying Gaia, and I mean everything, has got to go. And that's the fracking at the top.
You're saying Obama's one of the good guys?
You betcha, baby. He's doing the best he can. I mean, yet he's got the entire, the Congress where he can't move. So he slips things in. I've heard him say it several times. When I can, I slip it in. You know, they're stirring it up over there, so I slide in over here. But he's been, you know, stalemated and blocked a lot. But he has prevented the war, I will tell you that. And, of course, you get the big warrior stepping up. Oh, he doesn't want to have the war. He should be sending in the troops. No, not. That's about the last thing the planet and the people need right now, are those levels of fear and destruction. So we're on the right trail. We're doing really good. The truth of it is. And, of course,
we've got a few minutes left here, and could you give us a little message about what can we do, what should we do, especially us here on the air, and what could we create in order to help out the best we can?
Well, that's a good question, and there's so much, really, because we work every day with the Stellar Skulls, and they do so much. We tell people, use them. Spotlight the dark ones all around you. Spotlight the finances. Start calling them in to bring forth the people you need to meet, the communities of light that you need to be with, and just keep holding the light and honor Gaia every day, every day. You know, it's what the team is looking for, are those who are honoring and loving and taking care of Gaia in whatever that means, even if it's just a simple prayer every day and a thank you. Thank you for all that you are. Because people don't realize that Gaia has a soul, and just as the moon has a soul, and that she's a living being and she feels everything. And I will tell you this, the fracking, for example, and all of the oil drilling into her, which is like taking the blood of Gaia, that fracking is what created that earthquake in Nepal, as it is creating many earthquakes and volcanoes right now. Because she did not want that earthquake. Tell you that one straight out. And if you took a look at it, like through the planet, because many times it'll come right through the grids and through the poles in the planet from the opposite place. So you could look in, for example, the southwest, because that would be the opposite place of Nepal.
What are they saying about planet Nibiru coming through the solar system? Not planet, but the system, the planet system coming through. And
well, it was already here on 12/12. And if you noticed, you hardly heard a thing about it because the commander took care of that. He shielded the planet because it was part of the lineup, that whole lineup of all the planets coming together. And it's already on its way out, and they're dealing with Nibiru big time. They are no longer allowed to come and take over Earth as you are our slaves. And yet, when I talk about the wizards, this is some of them. They are part of the Anunnaki, some of them are. And he even shielded it so that we wouldn't have major Earth changes. Because Nibiru is three times the size of Earth, and every time they've come, it's been a huge catastrophe. And
just ask Noah. He knows all about it.
I don't know who Noah is.
Noah created the Ark 12,500 years ago, and he kept floating on it.
Oh, that Noah,
Yeah, I got one last question.
Another subject all night about that. I won't.
Are there genuine crop circles, and who's doing the crop circles that are genuine? For what purpose?
There are genuine. They're all genuine, actually. And the crop circles are coming from actually different groups of galactic beings and thought forms. Some of them are actually coming from thought forms of groups here on the planet of light. So they're coming in from all different places. And they're like a seventh dimensional language to go into your consciousness and awaken and activate you. That's why people have such profound experiences when they're around them and in them.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a most exciting interview. Thank you so much for being on our show tonight. It's outrageous information. Outrageous information.
Skulls.com.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing what you do.
Thank you
for being our guest tonight.
Good night.
Hello?